Hello and a very warm welcome to Centre Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, a piece of news sent shockwaves throughout the world. The Pharaoh was acquitted. Hosni Mubarak had been charged along with seven of his former police commanders for the death of 239 protesters, a fraction of the 850 activists believed died in the unrest. Now, Mubarak's interior minister, Habib al-Adli, and six aides were also found not guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. Now, this is why, in a third mass sentencing in less than a year, an Egyptian court on Tuesday condemned a group of nearly 200 defendants to die after a single mass trial in the killing of a handful of police officers during a riot last year. Hello again and welcome back. Now, today we're delighted to be joined by two guests. Now, here in the studio, we have the pleasure of being joined by an established political analyst with particular expertise in African affairs and also a respected colleague of mine at RIB Swahili Radio. Mr. Mubarak Kenya, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to Centre Stage.
Thank you very much for having me tonight.
Thanks very much for being with us. But crossing over, of course, to our London studio, I'm very pleased to be joined by top Egyptian analyst, well-versed in the issues pertaining to Egypt. Dr. Ali Kabani, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to Centre Stage.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for being with us. Now, we're going to take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about the acquittal of the Pharaoh. So please just stay with us.
Relatives of those killed in the 18-day uprising that ended with Mubarak's fall were appalled at the court's ruling, which dismissed a murder charge against Mubarak in connection with the killing of hundreds of protesters during the 2011 uprising that ended his decades-long rule. The court also acquitted Mubarak of a corruption charge. Having said that, the toppled president will remain in prison to complete a three-year sentence for embezzling public funds. The Egyptian court also threw out charges against Mubarak's interior minister and six aides over the killings. Mubarak and his sons, Ala and Jamal, were also cleared by Chief Judge Mahmoud Kamel al-Rashidi of corruption charges related to exporting gas to Israel. The ruling led to protests erupted in Egypt. On Saturday, at least two people were killed as Egyptian security forces attacked demonstrators condemning the court's decision using tear gas and water cannon to clear thousands of protesters from the streets of the Egyptian capital. Nine others were reportedly injured and more than 100 arrested in clashes between police and the protesters who had gathered at Tahrir Square in the capital, Cairo, on Saturday. A number of people also staged a protest rally against the court verdict in the city of Suez on the same day. In the meantime, students across Egypt expressed their anger over the court's decision. Clashes broke out in several universities, including Cairo University, Al-Azhar University, Zagazig University, Fayum University, as well as in the University of Alexandria. Police forces arrested scores of unhappy students for violating a protest law that bans protests without a security permission. Apart from the impact, if any, of the widespread protests, the key question now is whether Mubarak regime is making or probably has already made a comeback.
Hello again and welcome back. Now, on Saturday, an Egyptian court found former President Hosni Mubarak not guilty of conspiring to kill hundreds of protesters during the 2011 uprising, which led to his ouster. Now, Dr. Kabani, was this a surprise to you at all?
It's actually not surprising at all, but it is a clear proof that the whole judicial system in Egypt is corrupt, and all their decisions are politicized. And also it shows how dumb and stupid they are. Because I thought that the best scenario is to give him life sentence to absorb the anger of the people and then release him for health reasons after 6 months or 1 year staying in the military hospital, as he have been doing during the last 3 years. But they are dumb, they are stupid, and they don't really care. And the proof, even from a neutral point of view, that the judiciary system is corrupt, we have one judge who found Mubarak and Adli guilty of killing the martyrs, and he sentenced them to life imprisonment.
Yes.
And the prosecutor general found that ruling very lenient, because the first judge acquitted the 6th assistant of the Minister of Interior. So they retried because the ruling was lenient in the point of view of the prosecution, the yes. government official mm. prosecution. So we find the second judge not only lenient, but completely corrupt mm. to acquit them from all charges. So I beg now to ask, who killed the martyrs then? We have got a testimony from Omar Suleiman, the vice president at the time, and the head of the Egyptian intelligence,
right.
stating clearly that he was informing Mubarak day by day mm-hmm. and hour by hour about every bullet which was shot, about every martyr killed. So he was aware about all the details mm-hmm. hour by hour. So how can this judge ignore that important testimony of the vice president and the nearest man to Mubarak at the time? The other point, the judge ignored mm-hmm. to hear 250 witnesses, and he mm-hmm. just heard 19 witnesses who are all from the police force. Mm-hmm. The other thing, which maybe a lot of people don't know, that this al-Rashidi, the corrupt judge, is a headmaster of a primary school in Suez belonging to a Shubban al-Muslimin organization.
Right.
And his direct boss is the guy who organized what was known during the January 25th revolution by the Battle of the Camel. So mm-hmm. this showed you the chain of corruption, and how come the authorities get this part-time judge to take their dictates mm-hmm. and acquit Mubarak, his two boys,
right.
and even all the members of his gang, including Hussein Salim. Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you very much indeed. So Mubarak, probably by this sort of acquittal, the judge and the army is sending a message to Egyptians, those who are out there still protesting.
Yeah, and I think the message is loud and clear, mm-hmm. and that is that the regime of Mubarak did not collapse. Mm-hmm. It is Mubarak who was deposed, mm-hmm. but the regime, the structures of the regime remain the same. And what actually happened is that there was a change of guard at the top and
right.
Among the military guys, because after Mubarak was overthrown, Morsi came took over power, but mm-hmm. after some time, again the army came back. So that was the interlude. Morsi was the interlude. Mm-hmm. And the structures of state in Egypt, the military structures, the political structures, the judiciary structures, they remained intact with the pro-Mubarak men. Mm-hmm. All these people in the judiciary, they were never changed after the revolution, even when Morsi took power for almost mm-hmm. 1 year.
But the previous judge had sentenced Mubarak to life sentence.
Yeah, and we might be tempted to think that mm-hmm. that might have been a part of a whole scenario mm-hmm. So that the judiciary can
right.
be seen to be independent. Mm-hmm. Because having been sentenced to life and then now you were acquitted, mm-hmm. I mean, that shows very fundamental flaws in the system. So
Mubarak, what about his two sons, Alaa and Jamal? They were also cleared of charges related to corruption when exporting gas to Israel.
Yeah, and actually that issue of exporting gas to Israel, you know, it's a surprise to anybody who look at the colossal amount of money which Egypt lost.
Right.
You know, according to even Western sources, some leading magazines in the Western world, they said that actually the contracts, Egypt lost around $11 billion. And then another $20 billion was lost in terms of liabilities and debts. So almost $30 billion were lost on the sale of gas to the Israeli regime. But these people were acquitted despite the fact that Egypt lost almost $30 billion. So actually that goes to show you that the whole system in Egypt, I mean, whatever they were doing, the Mubarak's son, They were just figureheads, and this money was going to the Egyptian military enterprise. You know, the Egyptian military is deeply involved in business affairs.
Yes.
So the generals were actually, you know, raking in the benefiting from the profits of that sale. And another interesting aspect now, if I might expand the whole issue, is that Egypt was selling gas to the Israeli regime,
yes.
But right now, according to some reports, the tables have been changed because, you know, in the occupied territories, they have discovered, you know, massive amounts of gas reserves.
Yes.
And over the years, Egypt has been unable to exploit its own gas reserves. So we are now actually looking at a possibility of Egypt maybe having to import gas from the from the Zionist regime or from the occupied territories. This is actually Palestinian gas which is been taken over by the Israeli regime, and it's expected to turn into a major exporter of gas. And you know, even during the Mubarak's time when they were exporting gas to Israel, they were not able to satisfy the local demands of gas. You know, almost 70% of Egyptians rely on gas fuel for. But right now they might be, because they're having problems with Qatar. You know, when Morsi came to power, they were they had some contracts with the Qataris to import gas from Qatar.
Right.
And you know, right now the Assisi regime is having problems with the Qataris.
Right.
And they cannot import gas from their allies like UAE or Saudi Arabia because they do not have gas reserves.
So they themselves have problems with gas.
They're right now facing problems. And it's because actually the problems are the fact that they sold this gas cheaply to the Israeli regime. They were not able to invest the money back home on the because Egypt still has gas reserves, but they never invested money
to extract it.
To extract it.
Right.
So we are having a serious problem in Egypt from that, and it is a surprise that these guys have been acquitted.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about some other aspects of this very interesting piece of news which took the world by shockwave. So please do stay with us. Welcome back. Now, reacting to the verdict, Mubarak denied responsibility for the protesters' death. And in a phone call to a local television station, he said, quote, and Dr. Kebani, I'm going to read you that quote. He actually said, I felt I did nothing wrong at all, and I was waiting to find out what they will come up with this time around. It was an innocent verdict. I did nothing wrong at all, but we cannot change destiny. When I heard the previous ruling, I laughed. This time I was just waiting. I felt indifferent. It is all in the hands of God. Your comments.
It can't be. Of course, everything is in the hands of God. But when you have a corrupt system like in Egypt, they can change a lot of things on the ground. Of course, he will not escape from the judgment in the hereafter, and he will be punished sufficiently then. But we all know, according to the Egyptian rules and regulations of the police services, that live ammunition cannot be used without the clear permission of the Minister of Interior. And the Minister of Interior takes his orders and instructions directly from the President. We also, on our TV screens, that police forces in Egypt used live ammunition against the protesters. Mm. And there was snipers on top of the Ministry of Interior, on top of the Hilton Hotel, and these were police officers. So who ordered them? Certainly, it's the Minister of Interior and the President. Otherwise, the corruption and the carelessness is more than anybody imagined if those police officers took the initiative and killed the protesters by their own initiative. The other point, which we really have to see, still the police forces now under Sisi are committing the same crimes and killing protesters.
Right.
And on Saturday, when people went in the streets angry because of this corrupt ruling against Mubarak, the police forces killed two protesters. So who gave the order to use live ammunition against peaceful protesters who went into the streets of Egypt to protest against the corrupt system and the corrupt ruling? So all these practices of the police forces are known to the Egyptians, and we of course all know that Mubarak, if he didn't give the orders, he could have stopped it, and he didn't do that until he was ousted and forced to resign on the 11th of February.
Right.
So all these tactics doesn't really fool the Egyptian people. There is an important point, actually. It was a condition from the Saudi king all the time that his financial aid to Egypt is conditional to acquitting Mubarak and setting him free from jail. And they did that, Sisi's government or Sisi's regime, to get the approval and the financial aid from the Saudi regime. And we shouldn't forget that all these Gulf mini states like Kuwait and others and Emirates, they are indebted to Hosni Mubarak during the first Gulf War, when he sent 33,500 Egyptian soldiers from the Egyptian army to liberate Kuwait when Saddam Hussein invaded that country. So they were all putting pressure on the regime in Egypt to release Mubarak, his two boys, and the rest of his gang.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for comments, particularly the one about the Persian Gulf War. Now let's take a short break. After break, it's time for Central Stage Online Search. Hello again and welcome back. Now it's time for today's Central Stage Online Search, where we go on the internet for you to pick for you what's taken Central Stage over the course of the last week. Now let's start with our first web page, and that's from from CNN, and that's the Hosni Mubarak's face. So in this picture, he looks a bit sad, doesn't he? He didn't know that he'll be acquitted.
I think he might, most likely he knew, but he's looking into the future, right. And I think a bleak future, sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
But actually, this belongs to a couple of years ago when he was first arrested.
Yeah.
So let's go, this is from CNN, of course. Let's go to our next webpage, which is again from CNN. And this shows Mubarak and two of his sons awaiting retrial. So if you look at this picture, probably they look a bit
happier. Apprehensive or...
right, and they're thinking, and look at their sons.
And I think they knew what is going to unfold, and they were just watching. It's like a book or a movie. You know the ending, and right. You're just waiting and knowing what is coming next.
Right.
They must have known.
As if they've already been told about the final version. Let's go to our next web page. And that shows, of course, it's a previous page, but CNN used it. So probably he looks very happy in this picture. Probably just want to portray how he must be feeling at the moment.
And he must have had a facelift, because if you look at the hair and the age...
of course, that's probably an old picture, but I think the feeling is there, probably. Probably himself couldn't have believed that he would be acquitted. Do you think that he knew that he was really acquitted? Because after all, what happened?
Because if it was Morsi in power, he would have been worried. But with Sisi, his fellow general in power, he knew that the situation will unfold in his favor.
Right.
And that is why he was not really surprised. And many Egyptians were also not surprised.
Right.
And the world, actually.
Right. And let's go to our last web page. This is, I think, very interesting from Press TV. 26 Brotherhood figures jailed for contempt of court.
Yeah.
So we'd be actually, comparative, when we have a comparative look at these two sentences, it's really interesting, isn't it?
Just for contempt of court. And, this actually goes to show, as the doctor said in London, is a corrupt, completely corrupt judicial system in Egypt. Because, you see, these brotherhood followers in gallows just goes to remind you of what used to happen during the Mubarak regime. These are the images you are used to see in the media during the Mubarak regime's rule. And we are now again seeing the same images. So it is a, re-Mubarakization of Egypt,
new terminology. Look at the person, the defendant, and actually on the front, he looks devastated. And I think I know that they were jailed to 3 years imprisonment. They were sentenced to three years imprisonment. And that's probably for just contempt of court.
Yeah, and they're also facing other charges, don't forget about.
Right.
Yeah, they're
right.
facing other, maybe even murder. Some of them might be hanged or sentenced to life, like I think some of them were recently sentenced again, the Brotherhood members. So it's really, it shows a bleak future for Egypt.
Right.
And the reversed gains made during the revolution. And actually reversed roles.
Right.
We should have been seeing these generals, behind bars. But we can see people like Mohamed Badi, and of course Morsi still in prison. I think if Egypt is facing very uncertain future, and the masses are feeling the injustice. You know, this is actually very, very open and flagrant injustice.
Right.
And you can call it even impunity within the Egyptian legal system, which is supposed to show justice, but is actually showing impunity because they're not even using, some delaying techniques or, to try and cover their tracks. They're doing it so arrogantly, and it's like you cannot do anything to us. And
So they're not afraid of anything.
Yeah, people who are opposed to the rulings, they are called terrorists, the Brotherhood members. And if you support the regime with all its injustice system, you are called a patriot. So you can see
We approve of what their ideology, or we reject that.
Yeah.
I think it's a fact that they're very brave, aren't they? They know the system, how the system works, and they're
actually... in Egypt, for you to oppose the regime, and now this is actually a military regime with an iron fist,
great.
You really have got to get the guts. And I think many Egyptians are coming out now, and they're saying, we don't have anything to lose.
Right.
How can we live in this state, oppressed, and, it's better to die standing than to die, kneeling down,
in
hands
up,
in humiliation.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, We actually, Dr. Kabbani, we talked about the fact that Muslim Brotherhood leader Muhammad Badi and 25 others, they were actually sentenced to 3 years in prison just for contempt of court. So the court made a ruling on Sunday during his trial, along with ousted President Mohamed Morsi and more than 100 Muslim Brotherhood supporters, on charges of storming prisons during the 2011 uprising. Now, that's a relatively harsh punishment compared to the Pharaoh's sentence.
It's very ironic, and it shows you the contradiction. 3 years for 26 people for contempt of court, and the man who insulted the Egyptian nations over 30 years was acquitted and set free from jail, as if the blessed revolution of January 25th was in vain, and the people had no right to do anything once the man was set free by our courts as innocent for all charges. Don't forget also that these corrupt courts sentenced the young girls of Alexandria for 7 years for carrying balloons and protesting in one side street in Alexandria. 7 years for more than 16 girls, 7 years each, and they found Mubarak and his gang innocent. Again, the students of Al-Azhar, 15 years in jail for protesting against the military regime, while the corrupt regime who looted the wealth of Egypt for 30 years were all set free. They couldn't even find a corrupt judge to set them free against all this corruption. But the judge relied on the statute of limitation of 3 years, as if they were cheap thieves who burgled a grocery shops in the street. And even the 3 years of limitation should have started from the day he was ousted from the presidency, because no one could sue Mubarak and his two boys and his parasites and hypocrites while Mubarak was in power. So they relied on this statute of limitation to acquit them, which people have to know that they are not innocent. They just used a loophole in the law to set them free. So this regime has to end, and if that ruling did something, it's to unite all the factions of Egyptians, Islamists, liberals, seculars, against this military oppressive regime and the police state, which they are practicing the same thing. They are saying, is Mubarak regime back? Mubarak regime have never left, because Sisi, the president, Mohammed Ibrahim, the Minister of Interior, and even the Prime Minister were serving Mubarak and serving his regime as obedient servants.
But, you know, Dr. Kabbani, the judge is actually saying that the charges against Hosni Mubarak were politically motivated. So that was the reason, actually, that he was acquitted.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Actually, the judge who acquitted Hosni Mubarak said that the charges against him were politically motivated. So that was the reason he actually expressed for his acquittal.
Politically motivated by who? By the Egyptian people who accused him and uprised against him and revolted against him? The Egyptian people don't need evidence. They lived that corruption for 30 years, and they made a revolution unseen in the history of Egypt to oust that pharaoh and that dictator, to be replaced by another one, which represented by Sisi. If the 3rd of July military coup was the first coffin in the January revolution, this acquittal was the last nail in that coffin to bury that revolution. So I am sure that the Egyptians, it's alive nations, and they will gather themselves again, and the next revolution will be to cleanse all this corruption and take it out of its deep roots.
Great. Thank you very much. We just have 2 minutes to the end of the for this last question, for Minister, end of the show. Is the Mubarak regime making a comeback, do you think?
Well, I think it has already made a comeback. I mean, with his acquittal, and with Sisi in power, that is when we started seeing the regime come back. This is actually very unfortunate. This is a setback for the people's revolution in Egypt. But I think Egyptians are resilient people, and they will not just sit back and watch. You see, the nation is still pregnant with the revolution, and the forces have to unite, I think, because the military has united and has united its ranks within the civilian and also the military structures. And I think the opposition, whether be they liberals or the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, they have to think of a strategy and unite, because actually they say if you don't have a strategy, you'll become someone else's strategy. So they have actually to unite despite their disparities, their differences, which are actually deep ideological differences. But right now the common goal is for the people's power to come back. Otherwise, if there is no unity within the ranks, then this regime, the Mubarak's regime, or actually the military regime in Egypt, will continue. But I think it is standing on shaky grounds. Because
do you think that they'll set aside their differences and coalesce their positions and the fact that they have to remove the
It might take time, and they actually need to strategize. But you see, this regime, because it actually depends on the assistance from the these mini states in the Gulf, and these taps of money will come to an end, because they are giving the Egyptian regime almost $15 billion a year, and they will get tired with that, with these prices, oil price falling and all that.
Yes.
They might not be able to sustain this regime, and it will start crumbling, because it will fail to meet the expectations of the people, the economic expectations. Majority of Egyptians are still poor. People, you know, live in graveyards because they do not have, you know, decent housing. In Cairo, it is shameful. So I think the masses in Egypt will have to, you know, strike back.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for that.
Welcome.
So unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Ali Kabbani and Mr. Mubarak Kenya, both established political analysts. Thanks very much indeed for coming on, for talking to us, and of course, for those insights. Until next week, from me, our guests today, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was great to have you. Thank you.